Hi, everyone. My name is Pastor Jonathan. For those that we have not met, I'm glad to be with you all. Welcome to Arapaho. And as you heard at Children's Time, welcome to pumpkin patch season at Arapaho. It's the best time of the year. It's even better than pumpkin spice season, decorative gourd season. It is the pinnacle of fall. This Saturday, the first shipment of pumpkins get delivered and turn our lawn into just an autumn wonderland out there. My kids are thrilled. They've always wanted to go to a church and work in a pumpkin patch. That's been a dream. And I have always dreamed of driving a forklift. And so volunteer on Saturday with the unload, and you too can live the dream, whatever that dream is for you. It's a special time. The money raised supports missions, the incredible missions and justice work here at Arapaho, as well as the Navajo community in New Mexico that has been growing the pumpkins all season for us. This is one of the great traditions of this church, which is fitting because today, as we journey through the Wesleyan Quadrilateral, today, as we seek to learn to listen to scripture and tradition and reason and experience, today we're talking a little bit about tradition. We're talking more than about pumpkin patches and whether you put marshmallows on your sweet potatoes, you know, those traditions. We're discussing the big T traditions in life, the beliefs and practices and rituals that have been handed down through faith and culture and life, and sometimes through recipes as well. They shape us in many ways, sometimes for the better, and sometimes they just shape us in other ways too. But tradition helps us recognize the ways that we have roots that ground us and also invite us to open our branches wide to new directions and new visions of that same light. But before we dig deeper into tradition, what is this Wesleyan Quadrilateral thing that I'm referring to? The name just meets me at my sacred spot, meets me at the intersection of theology nerd and math nerd, which is just where I love to live. I'm a holistic nerd up here, for those who haven't realized that yet. But the Wesleyan Quadrilateral, even more than embracing my nerdiness, is also one of the most beautiful and liberating parts of our faith tradition. The Wesleyan Quadrilateral reflects the theological method of John Wesley, who was the founder of Methodism, in whose stream that we stand. And it guides us in listening for wisdom through four lenses where we might find it: through scripture in our scripture library, like we talked about last week, through tradition, through reason, through experience, and invites us to be deeply rooted and open to new growth. And it's liberating because it recognizes that when we encounter those big questions in life or experiences or circumstances that knock us off of our easy answers, that we can seek divine wisdom in many places. Last week, we talked about our scripture library, and even though the Bible is shaped by human limitations of its time and by the prejudices and perspectives that we in our time as readers bring to it, that God still breathes and can breathe wisdom through it in a sacred and a profound way that disrupts the lenses and the biases that we bring to it and that we find in it, and invites us into deeper understanding. And today, we're focusing and digging into tradition. In coming weeks, we'll talk about reason, about how does the best of human knowledge of science and social science tell us about what is good and true and life-giving. We'll talk about experience and ask the question, how have we lived and found, what have we found to be true in our lives? Do our experiences align with what we've been taught? Do they lead us further toward love and justice? Do they bring new questions that lead us back to ask more? We need all of these things, these four lenses, scripture, tradition, reason, and experience, to lead us further on our journey and deeper in our seeking. And together, they lead us to live and to seek with deep roots grounded in wisdom, but also to open our branches to grow in new ways where God might be leading us. And God is always leading us further on our journeys. I love that one of the core values of this church is to be a forward-leaning Christian community, to lean forward toward progress and growth and a more full vision of love, to lean forward on our journey. Because the invitation of Jesus has always been to a forward-leaning journey. Jesus' invitation was, follow me, right? And it's hard to answer that invitation, follow me, when we're content staying right where we are. Faith is a dynamic journey that invites us to lean forward as we follow after Jesus. And Jesus was always inviting people on a journey as they followed him. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, some folks asked Jesus, Rabbi, where are you staying? And Jesus says, come and see. Jesus couldn't even answer a simple question like, where do you live, without inviting someone on a journey to come find out for themselves, right? Which is beautiful and like so Jesus. But don't try that, you know, when you go to the DMV, when they ask you for your address, don't say, come and see. It doesn't work always in all places in life, but Jesus invited us on a journey because our faith invites us to this faith and this hope that as we lean forward, as we keep seeking to know more and to grow and to learn, that God is at work, pulling us and all of humanity forward through our failings and our falterings and further toward love and justice and peace, opening our branches wider and wider to God's wide open love for all people and for you, and to the invitation that we have a part to play in that work of love for our neighbor and ourselves. And what's beautiful about tradition is that it reminds us that in our leaning forward, that we start from a place of deep roots. And so we're not alone on this journey. When we come to the big questions of life, we stand in a stream of travelers who have gone before us, who have handed down resources for us, who've shared the waypoints on the journey that they've found. And so when we face a question, tradition invites us to ask, how have communities of faith understood this and practiced this before? How have we practiced this? How have the great thinkers historically and of the present, what do they say about this? It gives us resources and waypoints on our journey. So there's a beautiful document in our Methodist documents called Our Theological Task that invites us to our task, to seek and to search, to deconstruct and to construct. And we'll talk more about that in coming weeks. But it says that tradition plays a role in our task, like this. Now, the theological task does not start anew in each age or each person. Christianity doesn't leap from New Testament times to the present as though nothing were to be learned from the great cloud of witnesses in between. For centuries, Christians have sought to interpret the truth of the gospel for their time. That means that we can learn from those who've gone before. And as we seek to apply love in action in our time, we can turn to those who sought to live it out in their time, and they can help us find wisdom on our journey. We can learn from people like St. Francis and Claire, who emphasized peace and authentic love and living in the midst of an opulent and warring empire of Rome. We can look to the reformers who lifted up the empowerment of all people at great risk. We can stand on the shoulders of travelers in the civil rights movement, of people like Gustavo Gutierrez and liberation theologies from Latin America and Black and queer and womanist communities. We can learn from people like Dorothy Day and Walter Rauschenbusch, James Cone, people who reminded us of God's heart for justice and the marginalized and called us to lean forward in our faith toward justice and mercy and kindness. And I could go on and on. There is a great cloud of witnesses. My own tradition stands shaped by people like Rachel Held Evans and Marcus Borg, Austin Channing Brown, Austin Hartke, Wendell Berry, Robin Wall Kimmerer, Brian McLaren, and on and on. Probably Yoda is in that list too somewhere. You can just come to my office and grab a book off of the shelf, and in so many ways, I have been shaped by those who've gone before. There are so many who have made this road by walking it, and God invites us to walk on that path and to keep journeying and following in our time. We receive tradition through their action and example, through their writings and their teachings and their theology, through their wrestling and seeking. And we also receive tradition through forms and practices of our faith. The words that we say during communion and baptism were shaped over generations to help us say something true. But we're also invited to make those words our own, to find words that resonate in our time, and continue constructive creativity as we lean forward to find words for us in our time. Tradition reminds us that those who've gone before have wrestled with many of the same things that we do and have found some waypoints on the journey. They've wrestled with the same things we do, even if 200 years ago they didn't have to wrestle with how to keep up good work when the Wi-Fi is down. If they had other things that they wrestled with, we can still learn. But that doesn't mean, and this is important, that everything that has been handed down to us in tradition is perfect, or that it needs to be preserved and carried forward. We recognize that tradition, particularly tradition in the Christian faith, has not always gotten it right, and we need to recognize its human and harmful flaws. And so our documents in our tradition give us this caution about tradition. Say, the history of Christianity includes a mixture of ignorance, misguided zeal, and sin. Tradition hasn't always gotten it right, which even in those stark words is still a huge understatement as we look back over history. Tradition is not truth itself, but it can help us on our journey seeking after it. It gives us a place to start as we lean forward into the future. And so we are called to discern on our journey, to decide, to seek out. Discerning is this spiritual practice of reflecting and testing and seeking, to discern what to take forward, what to learn from, and what to leave behind, what to take forward and what to make new, to constantly re-examine what we've been handed with and to seek to align them with God's vision of love and justice. And this church of Arapaho, with its forward-leaning, creative, constructive, Christ-centered community approach, has done that in its history in beautiful, valuable, not infallible, but valuable ways. You have taken what has been handed to you, and you've tested it. You've sought to love and seek justice through it, and you have found ways to make it more life-giving in our time and in our words. And that is at the heart of our task that we are called to as followers of the way. Once again, from the words of our Methodist documents, it is by the discerning use of our standards and an openness to emerging forms that we attempt to maintain fidelity to the apostolic faith, which is a bunch of seminary words in there. But what it is saying is, it's saying the way to stay true to the living spirit of our faith is by discerning what is beneficial and what we've been handed, and to be open to new understandings and expressions on our journey, to have deep roots and wide branches, to stay grounded in what has come before while leaning forward toward what is emerging. We're called to transform the world through love in action, and that begins by being transformed ourselves. And that's exactly the advice that this guy named Paul gives to the followers in Rome as they wondered how to navigate their journey in their time. He wrote this: "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, by the traditions and the things that you've been handed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." We're invited to discern what to carry forward, what to let go of, And that journey is not about just seeking to be smarter than those who came before us, right? That's easy. We have Google now. We can know everything in the world as long as we have Wi-Fi. We are good to go, right? But instead, as we ask, what do we take? What do we remake? How do we discern that? The question for us is not how to be more right, but how do we be more loving? Does this tradition that we've been handed help us love more deeply? Does it help us live out love in action? Does it help us welcome others in the spirit of love and openness? Does it make our hearts deeper in love with God, with neighbor, as we're learning to love ourselves? Ultimately, the test of tradition is not about right thinking alone, but how well it helps us live in right love. We cannot control what we have been handed, but we can choose where we are headed. And we will know that we are following in the way by our love. Because that's how the tradition of Methodism began. Methodism did not start out as an intellectual doctrinal dispute. Many denominations in Christian history began because of a fight over doctrine. We all remember the great transubstantiation wars of the 15th century. We all remember that, right? Yeah, we all remember the things that people called each other heretics about and fought over and split and made new churches, and maybe we've seen that happen in our time as well, too. But Methodism did not start as a dispute over doctrine. It started with John Wesley saying, I hear all your theories, I see your traditions, but hear me out. What if we actually tried to love? What if we tried to love God? What if we tried to love our neighbor? What if we tried to learn to love ourselves like God loves us? And what if we tried to be methodical about putting this into practice? Growing in love, God and neighbor. The term Methodist was actually like a derogatory nickname. It was a teasing nickname that John Wesley's friends had for him. You've got a method to this madness of love. That's how Methodists began, by actually trying to make a commitment to put love into action and to ask of all the things that we've been handed, which things help us head toward love? Theology was always a servant to love in action. And so at the heart of it, that's the question that the quadrilateral is asking, and that we need to ask of these traditions as well. How does Scripture help us grow in love? How does tradition teach us to put God's kind of love into action? How does reason tell us how to actually holistically and not harmfully love people and do good? And how do you experience love? And how does your experience help you love better? The quadrilateral is a tool to grow in love more and more. And so in our tradition, John Wesley said this: there's no gospel without the social gospel. There's no personal transformation without social transformation. And what he said when he said this was that all of this is not just about us thinking better, but loving better. This is all for the sake of growing in love of God and neighbor and transforming this world and the society with a love that sets us free. That is our tradition. That is what we have been handed and what we are called to in our time. And so the questions we ask of those things that we receive are, do they help us put love into action? Do they teach us? Do they root us? What we have been handed in tradition is so valuable, but it can also be fallible. And so we seek to discern and stay open. That's how we stay faithful, as we always seek in our practice to seek after love. Does this help us love our neighbor, seek justice in our world? Does this help us welcome new people and help them find belonging in our community? Does this lead us deeper, not in an intellectual exercise, but in the exercise of love? On this journey, we will be known as followers of the way, not by how much we know, but how well we love. In our lives, we cannot control what we have been handed, but we can choose where we are headed. And so our God calls us, wherever we are, to lean forward toward love, toward shalom, toward a vision that is more beautiful than anything that has come before or that we have been handed, but that what we have been handed by those who've gone before helps us glimpse. That's how we discover what to take and what to remake, how to have deep branches, deep roots and wide branches, or deep branches if your branches are so big they're leaning over, either one of those things, and head toward a future of love. So yesterday, we had an amazing experience of getting to put a little bit of that into practice. Over 30 of us gathered here for a racial healing circle, sponsored by Arapaho's Journey Toward Racial Justice, facilitated by the incredible Quodicia Johnson and Rosara Cruz. Together, amidst our diversity, we explored our traditions, where we came from, what we've been handed, our stories, our backgrounds, our genealogies, the traditions we came from, and how they've shaped us, for better and for worse. We listen to each other's stories, and we open ourselves to each other in grace and seeking understanding. And though our specific journeys were different, we realized that we shared so much in common. One, that we all have a story, that we all come from a tradition and have been handed so much, and that we are all on this journey toward where we are headed together. We can't change what we've inherited, but we can choose how we move forward. We can't control what we've been handed, but we can choose where we are headed, what we learn from, what we leave behind, what we take, what we remake. We can disrupt the old stories and lean forward into new ones. We don't own the past, but we own our choices to move past it toward the world that God dreams. And so together, we can help create a future. And so in this circle, as we shared our stories, as we told of our traditions and our genealogies and the things we've learned and struggled with, the things that brought us pride, the things that brought us shame, in light of our stories and traditions, we ran around the circle to begin to describe, one by one, the world that we want to help create together, the world we are leaning forward toward. And so here's what this group came up with. Each person got to write a word there. And I know you probably can't read that. Even if it were huge, it's handwriting. And so I will read these to you. We seek a world, we commit to help build a world that has curiosity, equality, understanding, and openness, that's compassionate, safe, civil, full of justice, the just world that Jesus would want, that is equitable, where people can coexist in peace with a non-judgmental, harmonious, caring, accepting, inclusive love, a world that's full of kindness, where we trust, that is merciful and gentle, where people find happiness, that is empathetic, creative, and courageous. Those words were lifted up by the gathered community, Black, white, Latinx, young, old, gay, straight, all of us in our diversity, chose to lift up and to commit to lean forward toward that. That's what we are leaning forward toward, Arapaho. And even at times, what we might glimpse in our glimpses. We stand here in this church, Arapaho, in a remarkable tradition that is so valuable and, yes, fallible. but with discerning and with openness. God working in us from where we are today. We can choose to lean forward toward a vision of love in action together. As we discern what to take from those who've gone before, what to learn from, and what to leave behind, it is that vision that guides us. This is what the good and pleasing and perfect will of God is. The world God dreams, and we do too. A world that is creative and courageous and compassionate and kind and gentle and merciful. A place of steadfast love, forgiveness, and peace. The things that are the fruit that grows when God's Spirit is moving us on. Let it form us and let it transform us. We can't choose what we've been handed, but we can choose where we are headed. And love is the heading that we choose. And so, friends, may that be the tradition that we seek to follow, and that be the tradition that we seek to leave for those who follow after. May we lean toward it, and may it be so even more in our time. Amen. Amen.